Well, good evening and welcome to our mission service this evening. It's good to have you here tonight. And we've got David visiting us, and I believe David and I, they've had a bit of a visit around Kent as well over the weekend. So it's good to have them with us from Through Faith Missions. I'd like to pray now and then I'll read a passage. Father, we do thank you for bringing us here this evening. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and open our minds to what can be done in your local church. And Father, we thank you for David and for Diane coming. And Lord, we thank you for all that they've done with many local churches over the past years. So Father, we ask that we would worship you, we would glorify you, and then we would learn from David of different things that we can be doing. So Father, open our minds and hearts this evening. Amen. A little passage, just familiar maybe to some, from Romans. Romans 10, just a few short verses, starting at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on that one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So for those people who need to hear the gospel message, we need to take it to them and speak into their hearts of all that God has done for them. And David's just going to come and say hello and pray with us. And then we'll have a short time of worship. But David, do come and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Deb. And thank you for Graham for giving me the opportunity to come, and indeed the rest of you for being present here for worship this evening. I'd like to bring you greetings from all at Through Faith Missions. I am the administrator in the office, so they don't let me out very much. So this is a real treat. And I even persuaded my wife, Diane, who's with me, to make a weekend of it. So we've had some nice looking around the area. My home church is Great Shelford Free Church, which is a Baptist church, and that's just south of Cambridge. And I'd like to bring you their greetings as well, because they're praying for us. They know I'm here this evening. They know that I'm speaking to you, yes, about Through Faith Missions, just worshipping together, and really want to bring that greeting to you tonight. I think afterwards there's sort of opportunity for tea and coffee, but also through the back there is a tabletop with just some resources that we use in our missions. I'd love not to take anything home with me, okay? Now, I don't mean I want you to take it and put it into your rubbish bin, into your recycling. It's there for you to please to either to use or to read, make use of if you possibly can. If you don't want to take it, that's fine. It'll be well used elsewhere. But anyway, I just wanted to bring you that greeting and, as I say, just to say hello. Bev's already welcomed us into worship and indeed prayer, but I'd just like to have my own little worship prayer, if I may. Please, Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and worship you together. the privilege I have, Lord, for coming and worshipping in another church and sharing with brothers and sisters. And isn't it just so wonderful that we can go almost anywhere and know that we have brothers and sisters in the Lord. So, Lord, I want to really commit this time. Bless my words, Lord, as I speak a little bit later. In your Son's name, amen. I want to thank Bev also for just giving us that last reading from Romans. No offence, but I'm going to turn my back on you now, because you can read perhaps the back of my shirt, which says, "How beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news." And these are our team shirts. Everybody who serves with Through Faith Missions as part of our teams gets sort of a shirt, t-shirt, polo, sweatshirt, whatever. But they all have that logo on the back, because that's what it's all about, bringing the good news to people. It's not saying anything about ourselves, but it's how beautiful those words are that we can share. So I look forward to sharing that with you in a few moments. Bev, lead us in worship, please.
We've just got a couple of songs that we're going to sing together, and then David is going to come back and tell us about Through Faith Mission, and then talk to us a little bit about Moses in a second bite of the cherry. So we're going to stand if you're able, and we're going to sing "Who You Say I Am," and the chorus is "Who the Son Sets Free, Oh Is Free Indeed," and that's where the thoughts that were sort of coming through my head this week as I was thinking of these songs. So who am I that the highest King would welcome me? Let's stand and sing. And then build your kingdom here. set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Please do take your seats again. And David's going to tell us, first of all, about Through Faith Missions.
Well, I should emphasise, all the things that I say are going to be about Through Faith Missions, although I'm splitting the talk into two parts. The second part is not a preach, so don't panic. I'm just going to talk about things to do with Through Faith Missions. Now, apart from Graham, has anybody heard before tonight, and knowing I was coming, has anybody heard of Through Faith Missions? Oh! Sorry, say again?
1999.
Yes.
In
yes.
And you came to Sheffield.
We did.
Yes.
Okay.
Church, I think some of your people slept on our hall floor.
Excellent. Well done. Okay. Did you know Tim and Georgina Hall? Okay. Tim was up until quite recently our lead evangelist. Our chief executive officer, to give his official title, although just in February he just has moved on to do other things. That's great. I started working with Through Faith Missions in 2008, after doing other things, as you do through the rest of your life. Mainly that was to do in the health service. But I have to confess, at that point, I had never heard of Through Faith Missions. And it took me only a very short length of time to ask the question, why? Why have I never heard about Through Faith Missions and what they do? And the first slide that you can see just there has got kind of our strap line, as it were. It says, Through Faith Missions exist to encourage evangelism, sharing or serving local churches and Christian organisations involving many Christians in the task. Now, this is really more than just a strap line. It is really all about our ethos of how we work. We're not an organisation who come in and sort of change the world by doing a mission for you and then leave. That's not the way we do it. We very much believe in partnership with the local churches or church, whichever is appropriate, and we've worked with single churches, a group of churches, a whole county of churches, as we did when we did Walk Kent and have done other counties or other areas through the last many, many years. Through Faith Mission started back in 1986 with a man called the Reverend Daniel Cousins, who was ordained in the Anglican Church. And he served as a curate, but he very, very quickly realised that his mission, his ministry, could never be bound by church walls. He had to be outside meeting people and find out what made them tick. And so he set up Through Faith Missions to do exactly this, to work with churches, to encourage you to share the gospel, such that as we come in and work with you and do a few days or a whole week or whatever's mission, when we as a team leave, you are fired up and carry on working at it. It's a little bit like a culture change. We say, well, the church, of course, is all about evangelism. But actually, we're all really, really poor at it. We're not very good at evangelism. Could we just carry on with the next couple of slides? These will just run through for a few moments. And this is just examples, people who have served in our teams over the years, a real diversity of people from backgrounds or whatever, and all different churches. Although Daniel was an Anglican vicar originally, it's not an Anglican organisation. It's completely Christian in its broadest sense, and we have people serving from all churches in the Christian faith come on mission, and we will work with anybody in the Christian community who wants to share the gospel. We don't have a particular view on any sort of doctrine or bits and pieces. Our thing is all about sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just on that slide there, you can see from going your top left, just across, people working in the streets, talking to people, going knocking on doors and meeting people out in the community. Those two photos I'm going to talk a little bit more about later. Children involved in activities at a church. Another one there, just meeting a guy who was riding his motorcycle past and happened to stop and had a conversation. And a group of young people setting up, I can't remember what the function actually was at the time. And then, amazingly, the last that slide just at the end there, I don't know how it all happened, but we participated in a line dancing evening. And I think we actually had a sort of a end of an evening, an afternoon speaker, if you like. Somebody gave a message and gave their testimony. And one of the things we try and do as all our team members is to train people or to encourage people to learn what their story is. Because you can say to somebody, I want to tell you about Jesus, and they switch off. But if you say to them, can I tell you what my story is? And perhaps can you tell me what your story is? You know, how are you? People can't deny your story because it's your story. They can't say it's rubbish. They may not say they don't believe it, but they can't tell you it's not your story because it is. And that's really quite important. If we could go on to the next slide, please. So I hope you can read that. It's a little bit blurred, but never mind. So what does a TFM team do? If a church invited us to come and do a mission in an area, we'd get together over quite a number of months, probably beforehand, and work with them to try and work out a program of activities over the time that we would be with you. But we're bringing with us not just a single or two people, we usually will try and bring a team of people. And they're people who are experienced in the main. Some people are new to it, but in the main, most of are experienced of going to do missions in a variety of different communities. They're a group of men and women who are coming to work with you. And they're all dedicated Christians with a heart for sharing the gospel. And they're essentially extra willing pair of hands. Have you ever tried to run an event and tried to get people to do something? Get people to volunteer, to participate. Well, here's however many, usually up to about 8 or 10 people, who will come and be those willing extra people. So we always try and say, well, we'll bring one, you bring somebody else. We'll bring one, you somebody else. So if you've got a team of 10, that's 20 people, perhaps, to run your activities. What can we do? Well, we can do... Well, there's a long, long list of there. Street work, door-to-door work, whatever event you can think of, things you're already doing in church, if you've got mothers and toddlers, if you've got house groups, we can send somebody along who will give their testimony and talk to people, sit, and if you've got a coffee bar or something like that, we'll just go and sit on a table and chat with people. And again, so what's your story? Why are you here today? So all different opportunities, but you can put on events, and there's some just listed there. Is it just... Okay, going a bit too far. Go back to one, if you wouldn't mind. Yeah, I'm going to stay in that one just for now. Things that we've done in before, ladies' pamper evenings. Ladies love having sort of what's happening with their makeup and... bits and bobs. Okay, it's probably being really sexist. I don't mean it that way, but I'm sure men like to look nice and smell nice as well. Curry nights. People love to come and share food together. Encourage a group of people. The key thing, of course, is you've got to invite people to come. We don't just want it to be for church people to come along, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm very happy to share the Christian message with people who perhaps are on your fringes of the church, who may have been coming for years but have never actually made a commitment to the Lord. Healing services, magic shows, concerts, lots of different things. That's what a mission entails. But it's, again, it's all about working with you as a church as to what works in your community. You know your community best. You know where you want to work. You know where we really want to reach out into this estate or this particular road or this particular activity that has already lots of people coming on, but we don't know how to reach the people. You know, they come every week, but how do we just tell them the gospel while they're here? We can help you do that through the week. Could we go on to the next slide now? You might have seen this sort of image type thing before. There's a square of 100 dots. I'm not entirely sure what the up-to-date figures are, but I'm just sort of picking a figure. It's between 4 and 6% of people who go to church. The term is regularly. I'm not quite sure what regularly is. But that's probably at least they come Christmas or Easter or something like that. It's considered regular. So not even necessarily every week, but it's only about between 4 and 6% of the community. But if that's your church, and I know nothing actually about your community or this particular church, if that's your church, 4% in the corner, all you've got access to is the people immediately next to you. So that's, say, another 5% or 5 people in that community. And that's a very limited thing, but it's actually where a lot of churches sadly are, in that we hide ourselves away in the corner. And it's a realism that actually getting people to want to come into our services or into our activities is very, very difficult. They just probably would never step through the door. So what's an alternative? Let's go back to the next slide. Well, put your church, put your activities in the middle of the community. So suddenly you've more than doubled your exposure to people. Be involved in community regularly. And this is not about necessarily standing up on a street corner and preaching the gospel. Our church, for example, our community has a fun run every year. One of the things our churches do is we provide all the marshals. So we don't necessarily talk to anybody, but it is known that our church provides the marshals for the fun run. It's just a way of getting the church into the community. There is next weekend in our village, there is obviously coronation events. Well, we've got a stall there. Again, they're not standing up preaching to people, but they're just there. They're part of the community activity. It's really important. But that's kind of the church. Let's have a look at the next slide. Those four people, those 4%, don't stay in church all week. They go out into the community. And each person immediately has a surrounding influence of the people that they meet and people that they interact with. And from our original 5, we've gone up to 32. And that's all about living our lives as Christians and wanting to share the gospel in all that we do, in our very being. And that's really quite important. Right, I've probably done just enough talking for now. If we just go to the next slide. This is just a holder slide to remind me, well, what's going to happen next is we're just going to see a very short 3-minute video. People who have been on mission, ministers who have been involved in missions that we've done, what's their perspective on what goes on? Thank you, team.
Whether it is Britain or other Western countries, we see a lot of brokenness, a lot of chaos in people's lives. Many people in our islands have walked away from God, turned their backs on God. There is very little truth, very little light, very little grace. There's deep, deep despair. But we have the best news in the world, the good news of Jesus Christ that can transform people, not just on the outside, but transform them from deep within. Only Christ can do that. The God that we serve is a God of mission, and he has a church to accomplish that mission.
We are Through Faith Missions, a UK-based charity working alongside churches and other Christian organisations in training and equipping them in outreach and mission.
The people in Through Faith Missions that I've met over the years, I see a degree of authenticity, that they're genuine, they're true, and they're ordinary people who do an extraordinary work for God.
Part of going on these sort of missions as being like a disciple, as Jesus sent, sort of going out 2 by 2 and not taking a bag or sandals with you.
The beauty of going out with very little money and trusting in God is that you can't get in God's way. So we are used by him tremendously, and we meet some wonderful people while we're doing it.
There's an energy, there's a buzz, there's a sense of God empowering us.
We all come from different places, we didn't know each other, but because we're all just trying to do the same thing, we all just come really close.
Through Faith Missions provides effective training and experience in practical evangelism.
They encourage you to get out there quite quickly after telling you how to do it. It does build your confidence, there's no doubt about that.
Through Faith Missions is a wonderful training ground. You find that you've got gifts which you didn't know you had before.
It stretches me, so it's good to put myself out there and stretch myself in terms of faith.
We need to be telling people the good news about Jesus. It's a hurting world. We so need to be more outspoken and bolder. So it's a great way of learning how to do that.
Through Faith Missions is going from strength to strength, and we would like to encourage you to join us in bringing the gospel of Jesus to our communities. For more information, please go to throughfaithmissions.org.
Thank you for the first taster there, David. And let's just pray about what we've seen there, and then we'll have another reading and a little bit more worship. Let's pray together. Father, we all try and put that nudge away from us that we should speak to someone, that we should tell them our story. And Lord, we would ask your forgiveness for that. And Father, we pray that you would make us more willing, make our feet willing and our hands willing and our voices able to testify to your greatness and your love in our lives. And we pray that you would show us new ways of spreading to that 32 contacts that we have in our lives. Lord, show us where we might join a society or an association or just do something different and come in contact with a different group of people. And Lord, we pray that you would make that our aim and our mission. And Lord, don't let us get in the way, like they say. Father, we won't get in the way of spreading your word. So Father, be with us now as we hear more and we hear more of your word. And we pray that you would continue to teach us this evening. Amen. Now Graham's going to come and read a couple of sections from Psalm 105 for us, and then we will sing again.
Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. 26 onwards. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his miraculous signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark. They not rebelled against his words. He turned their water into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up into the bedrooms of the rulers. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He turned their rain into hail, with lightning throughout their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up all green things in the land, ate up all the produce of the soil. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next couple of songs. The first one asks a question, who, O Lord, could save themselves? And really refers back to the reading from Romans that if we don't go and tell people, then how can they be saved? And like that psalm, it says, we lift up our eyes, we lift up our eyes, and you're the giver of life. And then we will sing the song that contains the words on the back of the Through Faith Mission shirts, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. So let's stand and sing, You Alone Can Rescue. and now an oldie but a goldie. We had this one at Richard and I's wedding quite a long time ago. So how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him. Do take your seats again, and I believe we're going to hear about Moses in the next section.
Well, I'm guessing you've all heard of this bloke called Moses. I'm not really going to speak about him as much as sort of introduce parts of him to you. Thank you for Graham just reading Psalm 105 to us, and that middle section there just summarized in just a few verses what Moses was able to do, or part of it. And I'd really encourage you to go back to Exodus, and I know it's about 6 or 7 chapters, but it won't take you that long to read through and just refresh your minds on this really quite amazing story of this man. If you kind of Google Moses, you often get titles of books coming up using him as an example of leadership. Because, of course, he led the Israelites out of Egypt through the Exodus into the Promised Land. And he did that through quite an inspiring leadership. But I want to focus more on kind of just the beginning. If we could just go to the next slide, please. Oh gosh, I made it too small. I'll have to go up. So it starts off by saying he was an Israelite and he was raised as a prince of Egypt. I'm sure you remember the story that he was put by his mum into this little bulrushes thing and was floated down and was picked up by the Pharaoh's daughter. Do you know what the term, the Hebrew word for the bulrushes basket? It was a Moses basket, but there's actually a very particular word that's used in the Bible, and it's the same word that applies to Noah and the ark. It was an ark. Isn't that interesting? At the age of 40, after living in all this opulence in the Paris palace, he became a murderer. Real switch. And of course he thought he got away with it, but he hadn't, because he was seen. And of course that meant that he had to leave, he had to run away. And he runs away and becomes a shepherd. And he spends 40 years with Jethro, and indeed marries one of Jethro's daughter, which then brings us kind of to the next little episode where he encounters Jesus and the burning bush. So let me just pause there. What age was Moses? He was 80. So come on, guys. Never let anybody tell you you're too old. Okay? She's 82. Well, she's... What have you been doing the last 2 years? He's 82. Oh, okay. I know in the Bible we have lots of stories about people living long, long time, but Moses was 80. You know, he was not a young man when God called him. And if I could go to the next slide, and what it says there is, Lord, you want me to do what? You want me to go back and speak to Pharaoh? There was a real reluctance there. And let me just sort of highlight the question or the things that Moses says. He says, I'm a nobody. What do you want me to do? God says, I'll be there with you. Moses says, what if they laugh at me and refuse to believe? God says, my power will back you up. Moses says, I talk funny. I stumble over my words. God says, I've given you all that you need. Moses says, there's got to be somebody better to do this job than me. God says, you are my choice, and I will give you an assistant. Moses says, okay. But it took him a long time to actually get there. He was very reluctant. And that's kind of the sort of the theme I just want to introduce, is the reluctance. And whenever churches or indeed individuals approach the whole thing of outreach and evangelism, there is a huge reluctance. I actually find it relatively easy to stand up here and speak. I haven't done recently for various reasons, but in the past I have often preached over the years. I find it very easy to preach. Put me in a small group, you wouldn't get a word out of me, because I'm just tongue-tied. I don't know what to say. I'm afraid people will laugh at me. And I can stand here and tell you that. But it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference when I'm in that smaller group. If we could go to the next slide. Seriously, Lord? How many of us say no? This little picture epitomizes me about 2 years ago when Through Faith Missions we felt really, really called to do a mission across the whole width of the country. And we went from the most easterly point at Great Yarmouth to the most westerly point in just past St. David's, at St. David's Head. And over the course of 11 weeks, we had a team coming from each end and meeting in the middle. So it was 22 teams of people. And that follows a path called the Via Beata, the Way of Blessing. It's a recognised long-distance footpath. And we felt that this was one of the times where we didn't go and work with a particular church. We just felt called to come and bring a blessing across the land, to pray as we walked, to talk to people as we just walked along. Some days we didn't meet anybody at all, but we just walked and prayed. And some days we met lots and lots of different people. Some days we walked 10 miles, 12 miles. Some days we walked about 2. I can remember one particular day where I did actually walk 10 miles, but actually ended up 3 miles from where I started, but that's another story. But all those 22 teams needed a team leader to run them. Now, because we sat around our sort of team meeting one day in early 2001, trying to put all these teams together, and it's kind of expected that we each play our part. I'm not a team leader as such, but to be part of the teams. So I'd already put my name down, a little bit grudgingly, to participate in one team, one of the 22. And we were sat round this table, and the heads were bowed and saying, we haven't got enough people to do this week and this week and this week. And I'm going, Lord, not me, Lord, not me. I've already put my name down once. I'm not going to put my name down twice. Come on. And the more and more I sat in that meeting, I felt God saying, come on, I'm choosing you. And I say, no, no, not me, somebody else. I want you. And to cap it all, Tim, who was leading the meeting, actually, I can't remember what the passage was, but it was all about letting go and letting God. I think this is just not fair. Come on. I put my name forward, and I have to say, there were consecutive weeks, and I had 2 fabulous weeks just being in the presence of the other team members, but just knowing that I was bringing a blessing to that land. And the number of people that we met along the way was really quite spectacular. But it all started, just like Moses, with, after all the objections, saying, okay, Lord, yes, I will. One of the guys who spoke on the video that you just saw a few moments ago, he, in a previous interview, in another video, he makes the comment, there's always a good reason why not, but none of them are good enough. If I could go to the next slide. Seriously, Lord, all the things. What if? Please send someone else, Moses says. Excuse me, I just need to go back to my notes just to make sure I don't get lost and just ramble on and on and on. There's just some verses there. And also, if we could go to the next one, where he says, seriously, Lord? And then, of course, we had the verse that was read to us from Psalm 105. God sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. And they performed signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. It can only happen when we say, yes, Lord. And by this, I don't just mean going to be part of a TFM team. How many of us have walked past somebody or met somebody at the checkout in Sainsbury's or Morrison's or wherever you do your shopping and just felt I needed to say something? I remember years and years ago, I was out with a family in London. We were just on a normal day out, walking along the South Bank, somewhere around Tower Bridge, I think it was. And we walked past somebody who was sitting in a doorway, just on the doorstep. Just a young, I don't know, late teenager, maybe early 20s. And I felt a real strong feeling as I walked past this lady that I needed to speak to her. And I didn't. And I walked on a bit, and it was then I got almost to the end, about another 50 yards on. I think, okay, Lord. And I turned back and she'd gone. I'd missed the opportunity. And it's kind of stayed with me. I've no idea what was going on with that girl, whether it was a genuine thing, that she needed somebody to speak to. But God, I really felt, had told me, you need to speak to her. And I didn't. And I don't want to talk about the guilt or anything like that, because it's not about guilt. It's just, I wasn't there when God asked me to do something. If I could go to the next slide. These are the couple of pictures that you did see just a little bit earlier on. The one on the left, that's two people going to knock on somebody's door. And one of the things we do as TFM is that we use a survey, a series of five questions. Now, sometimes we can be criticised that we're using it as an excuse. And that's perhaps a valid thing sometimes, but actually it's not, because it is very much a survey. When the team is here and they go out and ask people questions, they do a survey of the people and what people think in the area that we're asked by you to work. We did a training day over in Wolverhampton just a few Saturdays ago, about 6 weeks ago. And indeed, there is a mission there which started today, lasting all this coming week, with three churches involved, three teams, led by Daniel, our lead evangelist, just now. And on that training day, we taught them how to talk to people about their faith, and we sent them out straight away onto the streets, and they did the survey and they came back. And when they came back, the numbers weren't huge, but they matched all the previous data that we'd had from all the other years, that of all the people they had spoken to, almost a half said, I'd like to know more. I'd like to know more about Jesus. A half. Wow. It doesn't sound right, but that's what people are interested, actually. But we never ask them. We never talk to them. The first picture on left, the one with the hat, is Daniel. He was I was in a group of three. These are both taken from Walk the Way. In 2021, going across the country, and these both are in Wales. Daniel was our lead evangelist, he was our team leader that week. The guy next to him, his name is George. He used to go to the church of one of our previous staff members, who was called David, who's now retired. David and George have known each other for 30 years. And David, bless him, has asked George to come on mission probably every year for 30 years. And it wasn't actually until David retired and George said, oh, well, okay then, I'll come. That was in 2021, 2 years ago. I think he's been on 10 missions since then, because he loved it so much. And he felt so used by God. And he felt it was so right that he had the opportunity. He had a story to tell, and people wanted to hear that story. I wanted to know about him and what was going on. The picture on the right-hand side there, that was actually for my following week. I was with two ladies, and we were just walking along this road, and we went into this convenience shop, which literally was in the middle of nowhere, on the sort of the top of the hills in Wales. And you think, why on earth is there a shop there? But this old chap, his name is Benji, he was there that day. Not normally, but he was looking after the shop for his daughter, who had to go off and do something else. And we went in, and he said, oh, do you want a cup of tea? And we said, oh, yes, please. We were cold and wet, actually, at the time. And bless him, of his own back, he said, well, what are you doing? And so we told him. And he said, that's really interesting. I've been thinking about the Bible quite a lot. And he said, I found a Bible in my house the other day, and I started reading it. Just really felt that God had put us in that place for Benji that day. No idea what happened afterwards. That's not my problem. That's God's and the Holy Spirit. We're just there to share the gospel and what it means to us. Some other stories. When I first joined Through Faith Ministry, or indeed before I joined, part of my induction was to actually go on a mission. That was along the East Sussex coast. And I started at Hastings and was walking all the way along the coast to Eastbourne. And I spent some time in Eastbourne. That's actually the first time I'd been out on the streets ever. And I went with the partner who was from the local church, who was expecting me to be the experienced person, because I'm one of the team members. First person I'd actually ever spoken to. Went to knock on this lady door, and the carer came to the door. And she said, we said what we were coming for. And she said, I'll just go and speak to, and it was an older lady who she was caring for. And we heard her voice shout from the back room, tell them to come in. I have been expecting them. How on earth could she have been expecting us? But the Holy Spirit had been there before us, and we spent just 20 minutes with her, just sharing our story, listening to her story, and we prayed with her. And we went on our way. Again, I've no idea what happened afterwards. But it was just one of those occasions where we just really felt that God was saying, I need you to speak with this person. There's lots of times when team members have come to speak to us after missions and said, I was having a really rough week. I hadn't done anything. I just felt I was a number. Part of the team, yeah, but just making up the numbers, haven't had a conversation with anybody. And then I was at this event the other day, and this person I got chatting with, we just resonated. And my story matched their story. And they just said, and it really is, it's happened loads of times. I was there for that person. Doesn't matter what else I did during the week, I was there for that person. You don't have to go on a mission team to do these sort of things. You can, it's the person that you meet in the street, that your next door neighbour. I know it's hard. I've already said I'm useless at it, actually. But listen to those promptings when God says to you, have a word. Just have a chat, ask them how they are, see what happens. It's already really important. That's all just some little stories about Through Faith Missions and what we do and what we could help churches that we go along to. As I say, we've got three teams in Wolverhampton this week. We're going off to Winchester and Basingstoke and a rock festival called Download later in the year. Lots of stuff happening. Because it's so important, and people are calling us and say, please come and help us. And we say, yes, of course we can. Yes, of course we can. And it's just wonderful to see a church is just grow within the period of all the preparation and indeed afterwards from missions. So that's why we exist. We live on a shoestring. We're not supported by anybody, and that's not an appeal for money or anything like that. I don't mean it like that. It's just we go where God calls us. We just go because God wants us to be involved in evangelism. That's Through Faith Missions. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the invite. God bless you all.
Take a moment to pray for David and the teams and whichever towns they're in. After a naughty thought went through my head, I'd rather be going to Winchester than Wolverhampton, but hey, wherever God's call comes, then that's where it needs to go. So let's just spend just a couple more moments in prayer, and then we'll close the service. Father, we do thank you for what David has said this evening. Lord, we thank you that you are patient. And just as you were patient for whoever came to us and gave us the gospel message, and you waited for us, Father, we know that you are waiting for those who aren't yet saved in this town and in towns right across the world, Lord, across this nation, but in every nation. And Father, we do pray that you would make us willing. We aren't useless because we are useful to you. Father, I pray that you would just give us ideas, new ideas and new ways of reaching out into this local community. Father, right now we pray for Sittingbourne and Sheppey and for the surrounding towns and villages. Lord, we know that there are many people who are really struggling, and they might be the person that we walk past that we need to speak to. We pray for your prompting, Lord. And Lord, we pray that we would reach out into the new communities that are being built more or less as we speak. Father, we know that there's so much new housing and new communities around this town, and that it spreads and spreads. And Lord, we want your word to spread and spread. And Father, we pray that you would forgive us all that is past, all the times when we haven't said something. But move us on and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Direct our feet. Make them feet that are beautiful because they bring your good news. And Lord, we pray that you would use what we've heard this evening. And Lord, that you would teach us to go out into the community and reach into people's lives. Amen. Our last song, the middle verse says, "O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." And it doesn't matter what people have done, what background they come from, or where they are a second before they accept Christ, but they receive the perfect pardon, the perfect redemption, because the job is done. It's already been bought and sealed with his blood. So let's stand and close our service by singing, "To God Be the Glory." Well, please do stay behind for tea and coffee through in the lounge and have a look at all the different things on the table. Hopefully everyone's got a sermon notes from this morning, and there were some magazines as well that came out this weekend. So do make sure you get all your bits and pieces. Let's pray as we close our service this evening. Lord God, we thank you. We want to give you all the glory. You have shown us amazing grace, and you have brought us out of darkness into your light. And Lord, we pray that you would make us just willing to send that light onwards. Lord, not to hold back, but to speak of you and to speak our own testimony, Lord, that no one can deny. So, Father, we pray that you would give us your grace and your mercy to go out and reach out to people. And we pray this to glorify your name for no other reason. Amen. So please do go and have a look at everything that's through there, and we will have tea and coffee as well. I think people went out to make those. What do you want?